We talk about gratitude all the time, but this is our formal week of gratitude. Noticing and appreciating everything in our lives can be a deliberate spiritual practice. Gratitude is simple, it's free, and gratitude might be the most powerful thing we can do to create the lives we want. Gratitude is part of every belief system. I love that we made a holiday out of it. So last week, we finished the 10-week fall prosperity class that we have here every year. Prosperity is not the best way to describe this one. It was really about having an abundant life. And we used a book called Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay by Jim Rosemurgy, who is a Unity minister. And the book was about consciousness. An abundant life is not focused on lack, on what we need or what's not here. An abundant life comes from an awareness of God in all things. It's seek first the kingdom of God. Live in divine consciousness and everything else falls into place. Rosemurgy says, our presence in the universe must be for a greater purpose than to be born, to have our earthly needs met, and to die. Yet, how much of our lives do we spend focused on our earthly needs? Need a new car, a bigger house, need a new drainage system at the church, need love and health and food and clothes, need more time, our earthly needs. Is that why we took human form? I don't think so. That would be like going to the movies just to watch characters pay their bills and yell at the kids. I mean, what's the point? We go see movies for excitement, maybe beauty, maybe romance, maybe to learn something. Some people even pick horror movies just for fun. I am guessing lifetimes are like that. We take human form for the excitement or the beauty or the learning. Maybe we should have read the fine print. But if life is for some greater purpose than putting food on the table, if we're here for some kind of soul development, then surely the universe is set up to support that. We pursue our soul development, and those other things fall into place. We talk about that a lot in prosperity class, and it reminded me of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founders. Not long after they started their publishing and prayer ministry in the late 1800s, they made a deal with God. They wrote out an actual contract or covenant in longhand. It said, we, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our money, all we have and all we expect to have to the Spirit of Truth and through it to the Society of Silent Unity. And then it went on, it being understood and agreed that the aforesaid Spirit of Truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication. And they listed what they wanted. Peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want without our making any of these things the object of our existence. And it was signed Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, December 7th, 1892. In other words, we're going to pursue our soul's purpose, seek first the kingdom of God, and trust that our needs will be met. And they were, not extravagantly. They lived in this little house on the grounds at Unity Village. It's called the Arches, and it's still there. It was built with no kitchen because Myrtle did not cook. And then here are the Fillmores when they were older. So that was their business plan. We'll do our work and God will take care of the rest. Would you have the courage to do that? Myrtle would not allow a negative word spoken in her presence. She said, don't say anything you don't want to be true about money, health, people, the future. They held a conscious awareness of God in all things. Rosemurgy says, a consciousness of God is the open door that allows the expression of divine power. The divine power is already here. It's not something we have to seek or find. We can't get God any closer to us than right now. God is all that is. That's why Jesus gave thanks before his miracles, before multiplying the loaves and fishes, before raising Lazarus from the dead. He gave thanks first. Thanksgiving is a celebration of abundance. It's the supply that's already here. And notice the compound word, thanks and giving. It only took me 60 years to realize the word giving is in thanksgiving. Not just giving thanks, but giving in all the ways we give. Now, you've heard me say this is how the universe flows. We give first, then we receive in return, and we give thanks for what we've received. But wait a minute, Jesus gave thanks first. So what if it works that way too? Give thanks first, then receive, like the loaves and fishes, and then give. Giving is a natural response to having received, and it's one way we express gratitude. So it seems to me we might have stumbled on the three parts of an abundant life. Give, receive, and be grateful, or the other way around, thank, receive, and give. Which might help those of you who've been uncomfortable with the idea of giving in order to receive. You will receive, that's the flow of the universe. But this way, you're giving because you received. Giving is an outpouring of abundance. Jesus gave thanks in advance because he knew the divine supply was already there. He didn't say, hey God, we need more food for all these people. He wasn't focused on the need or what's lacking. He knew that our needs are always met. So he went ahead and said thank you. And the food stretched far enough to feed 5,000. 5,000 men, plus the women and children. They weren't counted. Sorry, just an aside. When our good manifests in our lives, we are only seeing more clearly what was already available. And Jesus said that too. He said, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it shall be yours. He was not saying, if you wish really hard, the great Santa in the sky will bless you. He was talking about consciousness, what we believe. And he said to pray believing, holding in consciousness, that everything we need is already here. We are just calling it forth. And with that kind of faith, he said, we can move mountains. When we clearly understand who we are and what we can do as spiritual beings. So you remember the manna in the wilderness? It's a great Old Testament story of needs being met. The Hebrew slaves had left Egypt with what they could carry, and they went out into the desert. And every morning there was this substance on the ground that looked like frost, but it was the desert. It certainly wasn't frost. And they said to Moses, what is it? And Moses explained, it was food. It was manna. It tasted like honey and wafers, and it nourished them. The interesting thing is that manna wouldn't keep. You couldn't hoard it. You couldn't take more than enough for one day, our daily bread, or it would spoil. They had to trust it would be there again tomorrow. Their needs would be met. That's how the universe works. What we need shows up when we need it. One morning, we'll just notice it lying on the ground, waiting to nourish us, like manna. We don't always know what it is when we see it. We might have to learn to see and receive our good in the form it is offered and trust that it will be there. In fact, part of this process is to claim what is ours, allow it into our lives, accept it. This is the receiving, and it's okay to want and accept our good, to be open to our good. It's part of our divinity, and it's biblical. Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Apostle Paul said, we are children of God, and children are heirs. They inherit. They don't have to earn it. So first be grateful, then claim your good, and when you have received, giving becomes a natural course of action. The third step, giving, is the true prosperity. Anytime we give, we are affirming and celebrating that we have enough. We have overflow. We can give from abundance. Giving can be joyous. And Jim Rosemurgy said something in his book on prosperity that brought us up short in class. He said, people in need are also giving. They are giving us an opportunity to give to them. And he said, we get two rewards from that. One is insight into human suffering, and the other is joy, the joy of giving. So I've been thinking about that because Charles Fillmore said, don't give to need. It only gives it energy. Don't acknowledge lack. Don't talk about it. When you give, just give, regardless of whether the other person needs it or not. But Rosemurgy, also a Unity minister 100 years later, is saying the needs of others are a gift to us because we get to give to them. Certainly true when you have children. It's like stoking a furnace, giving food and money and time and attention. The sick and the dying also evoke our giving when they need our care. And how many people have you heard say, and maybe you've said it, they don't want to be a burden to their children? But what if the burden is actually a gift? Now, I don't want to sound too idealistic about this because we all get opportunities to give that are not really fun. But if giving is one of the elements of universal flow, gratitude, receiving, giving, then we need opportunities to give. Maybe generosity of spirit is one of the things we came into human form to practice. Maybe it's part of our soul work in this lifetime. So if we want to practice giving, someone has to be in need. And the world is full of volunteers, people who are playing the role of needy, hungry, sick, so that the rest of us can expand our hearts and consciousness by giving to them. Along with giving, we might also learn something about boundaries, self-care, and insight into human suffering. But you know, people who go on mission trips or tend the dying in hospice or respond after a disaster so often say, I got so much more than I gave. And some of the people who spend most of their lives giving might someday be the ones in need. We probably just take turns. We can't stop the flow. Giving and receiving, expressing gratitude and seeing the manifestation and giving in response to that, they're not really steps. They don't happen in order. We are perpetually in the flow. Thank, receive, give, receive, thank. But just because there is a holiday on the fourth Thursday of November doesn't mean we easily find gratitude in our hearts. Some years, thanksgiving is easier than others. So for those times when this cycle of giving, receiving, and thanks seems to be stalled or broken in your life, for those times when suffering seems to overwhelm joy in our world, or if one more person makes a demand on you, you're going to scream, you feel there's nothing left to give, here is a four-word prayer. Show me the good. It's not about how you got where you are. Maybe you created it, attracted it. Maybe it's just a bad day. The point is, you're here now. So given that I am here, and knowing God is in this situation because there is only one presence and one power, show me the good. Show me the good so I can move on. Remember the story, the Bible story of Joseph, and the Technicolor dream coat? Many years after the dream coat, he met up with his older brothers who had faked his death and sold him into slavery. They were afraid he would retaliate. They were falling all over themselves. Hey, Joseph, man, we were just kids. No hard feelings, right? And Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Haven't there been times in life that felt like a mistake or you felt like a victim, but you look back and see it was part of your path? Do your soul's work, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything falls into place. Where do we seek the kingdom? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So wherever you are this Thanksgiving, Whether gratitude and giving are easy for you this year or not, you are an essential part of creating the kingdom of heaven on earth. Give thanks first, receive your good, your needs are met, and know you will have infinite opportunities to give in return. You are in the flow of the divine. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a deep breath in. Let it out. And breathe in again. Let it out completely. And breathe into that place, that soft, open, welcoming, warm place in your heart. And if you haven't already, turn your attention to that rain on the roof. And what better representation of the flow of this life and this very clear indication that there is a change of season happening. And with or without our approval, the flow will continue. Breathe into that conscious choice of gratitude for that flow. Rain drops into a stream, into a river. Finding its way eventually into the oceans. Picked up again in a cloud and carried somewhere else. That never-ending flow. We are in the middle of right now. And it is so abundant. We could not even imagine the possibility of counting every raindrop. And that abundance, that infinite abundance, is the love of spirit, however you define it, whatever you call it, whatever name you give it. Thank you. Allow yourself to feel the wonder of that. And allow the gratitude of that wonder for that infinite supply to well up. Marvelous idea. Something that we can always, always count on. Always present in and through us, surrounding us, joining us, connecting us. I am grateful. And that simple prayer, show me the good. So breathe into that grateful place. That place where the good is always visible. And with one more big breath, join me in gratitude in the Alleluia. Hallelujah.